desire and interest in your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God. I'm very thankful this morning that our Redeemer lives. And He has proven that in so many different ways at so many different times that Christ is alive, He cares, and He loves each and every one of us today. Burden the Lord to place on my heart is where weeping meets joy. You will turn with me to the 20th chapter of John. I'd like to read a very familiar story, but you know the story of the gospel never gets old because it is a reality on a daily basis. And what sometimes, if we're not careful, can become commonplace to us, it can become so common that we fail to keep telling it, and then it's not common to our children anymore. There was a song that sometimes Renee and I will come up and like, oh, that's an old one. Because people just always sung, and then our children don't know the song because they've never heard it, but to us it was one of those oldies. This message and this story that we're going to read in the 20th chapter is one that I trust we will never lose because of the truth and the reality of it. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. And we read about her going to the disciples, to Peter, and she took news to them that they've taken the body of our Lord. And they came, and Peter and the other disciples came to the sepulchre, and they looked in, and the stone had been rolled away, and Christ was not there. And in verse 10, it said the disciples went away again into their own home. The disciples came, and they saw that, yes, the body of Christ is gone. And then they went back home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre. When others had gone home, the Lord's body is gone. They didn't understand what had happened at this point. The disciples did not really have understanding that Christ was risen from the dead. They saw that someone stole His body, and they turned around and they went back home. Sometimes we go back home to our quietness to find solace in our grief. We distance ourselves, but they went back home. But Mary stood at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. Mary did not go back home. But Mary stood at the tomb because that was the last place that she had seen the Savior. She didn't want to leave. And she was weeping. Mary Magdalene was a woman from the small village of Magdala, on the sea of, beside the Sea of Galilee. Oftentimes, Mary is confused with a harlot. Sometimes, there are some that try to make a case that she was the one that wiped the feet of Jesus with her hair. But there were five Marys in the Scripture. And while sometimes some try to build a case that Mary of Magdalene, Mary Magdalene was the same as Lazarus' sister, the evidence is not clearly there. The scriptural evidence isn't there. But what we do know is this about Mary Magdalene, that she was a woman that Jesus had delivered her from seven evil spirits. And we find that in the book of Luke. It said, I'll read Luke 8, to a certain woman which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. We find that Mary Magdalene was one of the women that followed Jesus. Now, Jesus had a core group of 12 disciples. But there were many others that followed Christ as well. And there was a group of women that followed Christ that ministered to the needs of Christ. Some of them ministered to Him with their money. And you can read that as well. But the Scripture bears out that Mary Magdalene was in this group of women that of their sustenance, that they actually provided for Christ. Because when Christ was in His earthly ministry, where did He eat? Who bought His bread? Who was it that bought the things that he needed? And there is evidence scripturally that there was a group of women that followed them with the disciples, and some of them had money, and they helped support the ministry of Jesus Christ. So Mary Magdalene was in this group of women that followed him. And we know that Christ had changed her life radically. If you have one evil spirit and you're delivered from it, there was a wonderful miracle that took place. I don't know what condition Mary Magdalene was in before she was delivered, but she had seven evil spirits and she had infirmities. So she was a woman that was plagued with sickness, with bondage from the devil, and when she met Jesus, he transformed her life. And when we read that she followed Christ, I have to know that a large part of Mary Magdalene's identity came from being a follower of Christ. I was possessed with evil spirits, I was sick, but now I'm a follower of Christ, and she followed him wherever he went. And that became her life. And so understand, when we read about Mary standing outside of the empty tomb, this was where her hope was. This was the man that said he was the Son of God that transformed my life when I was addicted to sin and under the power and influence of the devil. This is the man that delivered me from that and gave me quality of life where I had no quality of life. This was the man that took away the fear that has been testified of this morning. This was the man that took away her sin. No wonder she stood outside the sepulcher and she was weeping. While others went home, she stood without, weeping. Mary Magdalene was at the cross when Jesus died. And it is said of Mary Magdalene that she was last at the cross and first at the tomb. In other words, she was connected with her Savior. She came early in the morning, and I know that you put this in with how the other Gospels record it. Most likely she came with some other women as well to anoint the body of Christ, partly to embalm him, as was the custom at the time. And so she was there early in the morning. We read that it was still dark. It was early. Christ rose early on Sunday morning. Early in the morning, it was still dark when he rose from the dead. And so I would like us just to get a little picture of this woman standing outside the sepulcher, and she was weeping. So let's begin reading with verse 11. She stood without at the sepulcher weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher. You know, in her grief, and I imagine her tears were brimming, her eyes were brimming with tears, as she knelt down, she looked in there, and through her tears, she saw some angels. It said she saw two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said to her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" And she said unto them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." Folks, Mary had been faced with the reality of death. And so many times when we are faced with the reality of death and our loved ones, sometimes we try to distance ourselves from that reality. And the scripture bears out that there were many that watched the crucifixion of Christ, but take note that it said many of them watched from a distance. They were keeping some distance between them and that gruesome death of the crucifixion. Many people, we handle death differently, but do you know a lot of people don't like to talk about death? Death is a subject that in our home we have talked a lot about through the years for some obvious reasons, because it's been a reality. It's been something we face together as a family on more than one occasion, and so it's something that we are halfway comfortable talking about, but it's one thing to talk about and it's something else to experience the reality of the separation. But do you know death comes, even people that don't want to talk about it, One of these days, the phone's still going to ring. It rang, Sister Melissa, for your mother. The knock on the door. I still remember when my wife and I were home and we got a knock on the door just any other day. And there were two police officers standing at the door telling us that our son, they had meta-flighted him somewhere. We said, "Is he alive?" And they said, "We don't know." They didn't know if he was alive or dead at that point. They could give no assurances. When the call comes, when the knock on the door comes, you can talk about it all you want, but there is a reality of separation and grief that comes that you can't always be prepared for. And so Mary stood without the sepulcher, trying to understand why. Trying to understand that this is the one that I gave my life for and I followed and he's gone. And all of us are going to encounter death at one point. But death is going to stare all of us in the face one of these days. It's something that none of us can escape, the reality of death, the death of our loved ones. I am very aware of the fact this morning I look at those that have been passing on, and my wife's father died very early in life. But I look at my own father and I know one of these days he's in seemingly good health. But because of his age, I know that one of these days the phone is going to ring. How do you prepare for something like that? How do you mentally prepare? And so Mary was there early in the morning. She didn't, "I don't want to stay away, but I want to go and be as close as I can to the last place where my Savior was." And so then we ask ourselves, the angel said, "Why are you weeping?" Why did Mary weep? Already touched on the fact that a lot of her identity and the identity of the disciples had come from following Christ. They had left their fishing. They had left, Matthew had left the seat of custom. They left their jobs. These women had left their homes to a large extent to go and follow Christ, to listen to His teaching. And so when He's dead, the question is, who am I? I've seen that happen in marriages some before, especially with women. When their husband dies, there becomes an identity crisis because they were so identified with what their husband did and they were part of that work that now all of a sudden my husband's gone and it can be very traumatic. Who am I now? Because my identity has been so closely tied. And I believe that's one of the reasons why she wept. She wept because she was still trying to understand and process, where do I go now? What do I do now? What does my life hold for me because Christ is dead? But she wept because the tomb was empty. And we wonder, we rejoice this morning that the sign we had up before, it was about rejoicing and giving thanks because He's alive. And one of the greatest proofs of the resurrection is that the tomb was empty. But we don't find Mary Magdalene jumping up and down rejoicing. We don't see her with her hand in the air. We see her weeping, stooped down, looking in the sepulcher where the body of my Lord was. She had come to a wrong conclusion. Lord, help us this morning. Sometimes we come to wrong conclusions. She was weeping, and yet the evidence that the body's gone. One author put it this way, and I wrote it down. He said, "Evidence alone will never persuade anyone. Unless accompanied by proper understanding and an open heart." Folks, we say, "Oh, the tomb's empty, thank God." But Mary wept. Because she looked at the evidence that was there and she came to a wrong conclusion. She thought someone had just stolen the body, much less thinking that Christ was risen from the dead. If Mary had been right, do you know that all of us would still be in mourning today? If Mary had been right, we wouldn't be here today. If Mary had been right, we would not be saved from our sins today. If Mary had been right, we would have no hope of eternal life. If Mary had been right, yes, Sister Rhonda, throw up your hands and give up. If Mary had been right. If Mary had been right, there are times in my life, I don't know that I could have gone on either if Mary had been right. But the joy this morning is that Mary came to a wrong conclusion. The tomb was empty because Christ had risen from the dead. Mary was wrong. She didn't know it though. And so she was weeping. And she was mourning. And she was questioning. And she was wondering what she was going to do. Let's read on. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and she saw Jesus standing. Have your eyes ever been full of tears and you turned around and you saw Jesus standing there? But that's not the end of the story. It said Jesus was standing and knew not that it was Jesus. She was weeping, she was crying, the tomb was empty, and she turns around and there was Jesus. But she didn't know it was Jesus. Jesus, yes, maybe there were so many tears and she was so caught up in her emotion that she just wasn't focusing. But Jesus had veiled His identity just like He had with the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Christ had veiled His identity for a purpose. And it is a lesson that we would do well to remember and learn today. Is that just because we don't always identify Christ does not mean that He is not there. He was there. And this morning, because of life, sometimes we find ourselves in a place of weeping. But do you know that Christ is standing there behind us as well? And sometimes we don't know it's Christ. Sometimes we don't recognize Him. And Jesus was present even when she did not know that's who it was. Do you know that is part of our hope this morning in the resurrection? That Jesus made a promise. He said, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." In some of the times of your darkness, in some of the times that you may be trying to understand the whys, and sometimes when you're seeking to understand where you fall, your life falls into the scheme of things. When you are in a time of physical separation by death from loved ones. When you are in a place of loss and you are struggling to survive. And you are weeping, Lord, help us to remember that Christ promised to be there. And that is one of the reasons we rejoice this morning in the resurrection. And it's where weeping begins to meet joy, is that I know my Redeemer lives. And sometimes I turn around in the darkest of night and I say, "Lord, where are you?" And then we all start feeling like Job. I look around and I look on this side and that side and I don't see the Lord, but I know my Redeemer liveth. In other words, Job knew that God is still alive. God has not forsaken His children. Folks, even when you can't identify Him, He is still there. Thank the Lord for that. And then, Jesus said unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" Whom seekest thou? Are you looking for a dead body? Are you looking for those that stole me out of the tomb? Whom are you looking for? You know, I think sometimes Jesus still asks us that question. Sometimes we seek for answers and we look to this person and that person. And brothers and sisters, married and unmarried this morning, take note of this. Marriage is something that was ordained of God. He said they twain shall be one. There was something about that there was a merging, not only of the flesh, but of the spirit in marriage. But there is an identity and a peace and a fulfillment that can never come from someone else in this life. And sometimes people are disappointed in their marriages because you're not fulfilling my needs. And sometimes that is a reality. But the deepest part of the need that we have is in the Spirit. It's in our soul that only Christ can fulfill. And when I find that fulfillment in Christ, then we are equipped to begin to minister and fulfill the needs of our husband or wife or children. But as long as I don't have Christ fulfilling that in my life, many times we're looking for this one and that one to bring peace within myself. And that is something that only Christ can do. Well, so whom are you seeking? Fulfillment, folks, is found in the life of Christ this morning. It's where true fulfillment is found. And then Jesus also asked, He said, "Why weepest thou?" Folks, Jesus was the one asking the question, "You're weeping because you think I'm dead. Why are you weeping?" Do you know that sometimes we weep because we draw wrong conclusions? There is a living Lord this morning. Christ was not in the tomb. Christ was not dead. And folks, Christ is not dead today. Jesus is alive. And sometimes the Lord comes along and says, "Why are you weeping?" Because we feel so alone or we don't understand. "Why are you weeping? I'm right here." And we sang the song, "Because He lives, I can face tomorrow." Jesus rose from the dead, and this is the one that healed the sick, gave sight to the blind, made the lame to walk again. This is the one that enabled us to do what we couldn't do for ourselves. This was the one, and He was the one asking, "Why are you crying? Why are you weeping?" Jesus, because Jesus is alive this morning, He is our hope. And this is where weeping meets joy this morning. Weeping meets joy at an empty tomb in the presence of Jesus Christ. The tomb is empty this morning. And while there are going to be times of weeping in life, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning, and our hope and our joy and our rejoicing today is not in what we can do for ourselves. It's not in what we have done. But our weeping meets joy at an empty tomb, because it is the empty tomb that speaks of a resurrected Lord. And when Jesus stood there and Mary didn't recognize Him, I can know in my life there are times I'm looking for the Lord and I feel alone, and Jesus is standing there because He's risen from the dead. And that is what begins to turn the weeping into joy. And then Jesus, she supposed Him to be the gardener and said, "Sir, if you have borne Him hence, tell me where thou hast laid Him, and I will take Him away." Here, this is the Son of God, and she thought it was the gardener. And it was Jesus the whole time. And she said, "If you've taken Him, can you just tell me where you put Him?" And Jesus said unto her, "Mary." One word. You want to talk about where weeping meets joy? It is where the Lord calls our name when we are lost and forsaken and weeping and not knowing where we're going to go and what we're going to do, and the Lord speaks our name. Have you heard the Lord call your name before? Can you identify with that? You know, the Lord called my name when He saved me. But there's been a whole lot more times after that that the Lord called my name. He didn't even... At the get-go, He didn't even tell me all the answers to my problems. He just let me know He was there. He knew my name. Michael. It's not the gardener. The Lord's been here all the time. Folks, the Lord still knows where you're at. He still loves you this morning. He still cares for you. And He's still calling our names. He's called us by name. And He's letting us know in that one word, He's letting us know that I still care. There's no need for you to weep any longer. There's no need for you to feel alone because I'm here with you. And Mary turned around and she said, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. She was speaking in Arabic. It means, not Arabic, I'm sorry, Aramaic. She was speaking in Aramaic and it means teacher or master. Rabboni. One word as well, she was saying, you're my teacher. My master. You're the one that I had placed my hopes in. And then we turn and we read that Jesus said unto her, touch me not. That word, touch me not, it means cling to me not. Which makes me think that it's a good possibility that Mary might have fallen down on the ground and just hugged his feet. Hugged his legs. Lord, I just want to get close to you because this is the one that I thought I'd lost. This is the one I thought my hopes, my identity, the one that changed my life in delivering me from the power of bondage and the enemy. You're back! And he said, don't cling to me. He said, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren. Now he gave her a job to do. I want you to go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and unto your Father and to my God and to your God. You know, in life sometimes there are going to be things that we need to not cling to, but that we would do the will of God. He said, don't cling to me because I have a job for you to do. I want you to go to my brethren, the disciples, tell them I'm still here. And tell them I'm not yet ascended. And it said Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that He had spoken those things unto her. Folks, cling to the Lord, but understand, don't cling to the things of this life because the greatest purpose and greatest fulfillment is going to come from doing the will of God. Now, there's something here that's noteworthy as well. Mary Magdalene was a woman, obviously. She was not one of the 12 disciples. The disciples were those when Judas was gone. Remember, the disciples met and they said, we need someone to fill his place. They didn't talk about putting Mary in the place that Judas had filled. They needed people that were eyewitnesses of the resurrection. Mary had been there. She had seen the teachings of Christ. She'd been there at the cross, and she was the first one to see the resurrected Lord. And yet, she was not put in the place of a disciple. There was a position of authority that God had not given to her as a woman in the place that she was in. But on the other hand, don't mistake this. Because the Lord gave one of the greatest messages, and He said, you go tell my disciples. He took a woman to do missionary work to go tell the brethren that Jesus had risen from the dead. It means that the Lord, there was a position that they never filled in that inner group of discipleship before or after the death of Christ. But God still had a ministry for a woman. He still had ministry, and one of the greatest messages that was ever told was going and telling those that had been in a higher position, if you want to look at it that way, you go give them a message that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Folks, this is one of the foundations of the very gospel message. And the Lord has a job for all of us still to do today. What boys and girls, men and women alike, that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. This is where weeping meets joy, that the Savior is alive and He's there to love you and care for you. And we have a wonderful message to take to the world. She was one of the first missionaries. The message that Christ has risen from the dead. And the Greek bears out that Mary went telling. That sounds kind of like a woman, doesn't it? She went telling. And that wasn't meant to be offensive either. She went with a wonderful message, and she went telling the good news of the gospel. The Lord wants all of us to go telling. Go tell that Jesus is alive. Go tell that He's risen from the dead. Weeping meets joy at the empty tomb in the presence of Jesus Christ. So this morning, thanks be to God. which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, because he's not in the tomb anymore, but the tomb is empty, which means that even in life, when we have weeping, Christ is still there. And when we find Christ and meet Christ, it's where weeping meets joy. Amen.